Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Afternoon Underdogs on 790 KRD. Now, here's Tony Bonetti and Dave Jennings.
All I'm saying is that if you are sick...
I'm not sick.
And then if I... Look, I go to Cabo San Lucas for my anniversary Friday.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm isolated. I'm around nobody else but you, Sasquatch, and that's it.
I'm in the clear.
It's allergies.
There's some people out there, though, who are hacking up a lung, though.
Oh, my God.
It's allergies. Well, yeah, we got to walk through that every day.
Yeah, right, I know. Folks. I'm going to lob a Lysol grenade over there.
I'm not sick. It's allergies. It's really bad allergies. I've been trying to shake them for a while, but I just can't.
I forget. Where did you get your medical degree from?
Oh, it's from www.kissmy. Never got it. Here we go. I have a prediction.
Uh-oh. Pain.
Now, Dwight will concur with my assessment that I was correct 20 years ago when on the air I correctly predicted the demise of rock and roll music.
Yes, you did.
I said rock and roll music is in trouble. I got into a huge fight with Dave Mustaine from Megadeth on the air.
Yeah.
He's one of the smartest rockers out there, correct?
Imagine that, not playing well with others.
Lives in Nashville now. We recently had him on the show a while back.
But he took offense to my opinion. This is 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I said, it's done. Tell me how it's not. And I gave my evidence. And he said, well, you know what? You're not very smart if you think that. I said, well, okay.
Something tells me he didn't use those words.
Right.
Probably a little more sternly worded.
I ended up being correct. It wasn't the death of rock and roll, but it's the decline is so terrible. Rock and roll is now classic rock. That's the only they play on radio is just classic rock. They don't play any new music from any of their artists.
And when we say classic rock, it's actually just the same 8 songs.
Okay, that's where I was going to. If they would open the catalog... I got no problem with it. There's thousands and thousands of classic rock songs that are fantastic.
Yes.
But we play 7 of them.
Yes. So, rock and roll, I was right.
8 Secondly, for the holidays. Because we do have a Christmas version.
That's right. Yeah.
So, flash forward 5 years later, because at that point, I said, I got to get out of rock music. I went to sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was in sports for about 5 years when I correctly predicted the decline of college basketball. I said, this sport is done. People, one again, called me, said, you're not very smart. College basketball is nothing what it was 12, 15 years ago.
I mean, I say you're still not very smart, but I mean, you did get that one right. Yeah.
Thank you. I may not be smart, but I got those two right.
I mean, every so often, a moron does hit one.
Thank you. Yeah. Basketball ratings have declined for 11 years straight. Your biggest matchups are one share. Look at Michigan-Ohio State this Saturday. 17 million people watched that game. I go back to 2012 when North Carolina and Kentucky were number one, number two, when Kentucky had Anthony Davis and they won the national title. Mm-hmm. There was 12 NBA players on the floor. It was crazy. It was crazy. They won by 1 point with a block and 1 second to go. They had a 1.2 share. At the same time, Tulane played Southern Mississippi for the Conference USA Championship and had a 4.5. That was 10 years ago. It has gone down since then.
Does this go back to one and done?
No one wants to play in your league, correct.
No one wants to play in your league. It'd be like watching a show and they flip the cast of characters every year.
Yes.
And supposedly the NBA was... I don't know if they've taken any action on it, but there was some talk that they might revisit and just get rid of one and done and go back to where...
Just we'll take anybody.
Yeah.
Like tennis or soccer.
Yeah, so go back to the days of LeBron.
Yeah.
Where you have high school kids.
He's just going straight in.
Yeah.
Kobe. So, here's prediction number 3.
Pain.
After the long Thanksgiving weekend, I have finally come to the conclusion that the decline and the death of Thanksgiving is upon us.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Whoa?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Here's my evidence.
Wait, how are you? Okay, you know what? So you killed off rock music.
Yeah.
And it turns out you were right.
Yeah.
Right. Then you killed off college basketball.
That's right.
It turns out you were right.
Yeah, yeah.
So those two things, not nationally established holidays. So can you elaborate how you plan on killing this one off?
First of all, please tell me that we still get the days off.
No, you get the days off.
Okay, then I'm fine.
Because that's what everybody wants. It's the four-day weekend.
Yeah, I don't care at that point now.
But they don't want to do anything with the traditional Thanksgiving that we grew up with and knew. Okay? Mm-hmm. Here's the reason. One word. Granny. Granny used to call the shots. She told you what time. You always went to Granny's house. You didn't go to Aunt's house or whatever. You went to Granny's house, and Granny told you what time. And if you had to bring something, which was crazy.
That's it.
That was it. And that was it. And you got drunk with your uncles and the kids and everyone else.
I don't know what Thanksgiving you went to with drunk kids.
Yeah, well, dude. Italian. So guess who Granny is now, though?
You.
Granny is baby boomer, partied in the 60s. She doesn't want to cook.
No.
She doesn't want you in her house. She's like, can we do something besides you all coming to my house? I don't really like half of you all.
If it was up to me, and it kind of stinks because McDonald's is closed on Thanksgiving, I'd just go get a couple of Big Macs.
This is what I'm saying.
Ooh, and then, yeah.
Because more
less
people
work,
are doing
less
that.
People I have to see.
Right.
More people are going to the track. They're going to the movies. I read an article, or WHS 11 had a good article.
They're on your side.
They're on your side.
Are they?
On how a great group of people, a good sized people were going to the movies on Thanksgiving instead of hanging with family.
But see, and I would have done that if movies were actually worth going to see.
Okay, why? Because the family dynamic doesn't exist anymore.
Well, and if you go to the movies, you don't have to talk to anybody.
I wonder if Top Golf opened up for Thanksgiving.
It's open already.
Yeah, they were open.
Oh, you mean Thanksgiving Day? I'm sure they were.
Oh, speaking of which, just to rub some salt in the Hurstburn Sixes wounds.
Oh, no.
Driving back from the Governor's Cup game, and I went by where the Top Golf is. And now I had been led to believe by this group of six codgers that it was brighter than the surface of the sun.
Right.
True.
I couldn't even tell it was over there.
Really?
That's good.
Wow. Well,
that's good. That's good. That's
so,
good.
So maybe, you know, maybe the Hurstburn Six is at peace.
No. They just found something else to yell at.
Oh, okay.
All right. What else? Look, you're going to get the 4 days off. I'm just saying even Black Friday doesn't exist anymore. The stores don't even care. They put the things on sale a week
usually
before.
Usually I go on Twitter and I watch Karens punching each other over useless toys.
Gone.
And I didn't even see it.
That's gone.
So I've been deprived of one of the things I look forward to all year.
Yes.
So middle American wives punching each other in the face over a Barbie.
Of course. And you got to witness it on the news.
Yeah.
It was the first story. But so Thanksgiving Day, I'm sitting at our kitchen counter having coffee and I pop up the computer. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to look at Best Buy. So I did.
Yeah.
And the Black Friday, I've always wanted a bigger TV.
Yes, and?
And they had a 75-inch Samsung, which I love Samsung. 4K smart TV, the works.
Yeah.
$547.
Oh, my gosh, it's given away.
And so I told Susan, I said, I got to pull the trigger on this one. And she goes, yeah. She went ahead and said, okay, you can. Black Friday rolled around. I went, do I really want to leave the house? I mean, I'd like a bigger TV, but
just order it, have them deliver it.
Well, that's what I thought. And I thought, so I talked myself out of it for some reason. Well, the next day, Saturday, I pop up the computer.
Yeah.
Same price.
Yeah. Amazon.
No. Best Buy was the same price.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Though last week before Thanksgiving, Target was rolling, they had the TVs in the aisle. And we're doing the 75-incher, which was just the knockoff one, not Samsung.
Yeah.
It was like $285 for the 75-inch.
I mean, there's some places that are doing Black Friday month where they get to November the 1st. They say Black Friday pricing all month.
It's Black November is what they call it.
The only Black Friday thing I went to do is I rolled up to my Barino's and I bought an obscene amount of gift cards because for every 50, you got a 20 free.
Basically, he took his entire, he went over and gave George Timmering his bank account number and said, I need you to convert this into gift cards.
Let's put it this way. I'm embarrassed to tell you how much Barino's gift cards.
It's like a Barino's Santa Claus.
You do know that that's not legal tender anywhere other than Barino's, right?
This is the only place I eat if I'm up to it. And you got 20 extra dollars for every 50. So I said,
look at
I'm going to beat the house.
Okay. So Black Friday's
meanwhile,
not the
George Timmering said, "Everyone going, sucker." Got him again.
All right, focus. Focus, pizza okay. boys. Focus, I'm sorry. Focus. This is my third prediction.
Okay. Oh, third of the AO.
Okay.
Wait, are you I thought you already killed off
Thanksgiving. Stop. We have to conclude that I'm right.
Yeah, we got to put a nice little bow on it.
Thanksgiving's over. No one cares. Nobody goes to Granny's house. Granny don't even want you. Yeah. And Black Friday is not Black Friday anymore. Nobody's punching each other. And Jackie used to do that. She used to have a friend that was built like a linebacker.
Yeah.
She would just grab her belt, and she would have the girl just run through and knock people to the side, and they would get in the back.
I mean, that's what I looked forward to, was watching people behave poorly in stores.
It's
now I got nothing.
It's gone. So now people are just using it. They're taking Wednesday off, and they're using it as the whole week kind of vacation, and nothing has to do with Thanksgiving.
Well, see, and here's my grievance, because you know, all these little snot-nosed kids getting multiple days off. Oh, we got off on Tuesday. Shut up. You know what? I went to school until the day before Thanksgiving. We took off Friday.
Right.
And Thanksgiving. And then we went back on Monday.
There was no fall break.
Shut up, you little snotty-nosed losers.
Yeah.
And again, I blame Granny. Granny, this is your fault.
I do. I will say this. I do miss what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Seeing the news, first story on the news is always a bunch of people packed up against glass, pitch black outside, these poor retail workers. Mm-hmm. God love them. They got to open up, and here they all come. But I will say, I'm glad for the retail workers, because working with the general public sucks. I think everyone should have to be a retail worker or a server for at least 2 years of their lives.
Agreed.
I worked a couple of holidays when I was with Best Buy.
Yeah.
And I was at a service center, and they said, "Well, we need some help in the stores." I'm like, "All right, I'm a glutton for punishment."
Oh my gosh.
Well, I realized about
somebody asked, "Who was your sales rep?" I don't know. He's a big gargantuan looking dude.
Why? Because I got there and they said, "Well, here, you could work back in the stock room if you want." Perfect.
But you're so
are there any customers
you're
there?
You're so friendly with the public, Will.
I was going to say, you're so even tempered, just like me. It must have been a joy.
Can I tase the customers? No. Can I work in the stockroom? Yes.
Okay. So my third prediction, I'm sorry that it's already declined. It's not even a good prediction because it's already happened. But I did for rock and roll. I did college basketball in. And now Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen, it's over.
At least we still have Blockbuster Video.
November 28th, 2022. The demise of Thanksgiving.
Oh, here's some Thanksgiving dishes. They've got all 50 states. I didn't look up Kentucky. I guess I can in a minute. It's weirdest Thanksgiving dishes by the state. 1, 2, 3, 4. The first four, Florida, Connecticut, California, Alabama, ambrosia salad.
Love ambrosia.
What is ambrosia salad?
Ambrosia is tiny marshmallows.
That's not salad.
Stop. Yeah.
No, that's Count Chocula.
It's a fruit salad. Fruit salad?
Well, that sounds like something the geezers would make.
Fruit salad.
Tiny marshmallows, tiny apple bites, tiny, what's the small oranges?
Mandarin?
Mandarin.
No, they're kind of like mandarins.
Okay. They come from the island of Mandarin.
Yes, that's right.
We'll go with that.
The Mandarinese pick them and send them over.
And then some sort of cream that you put in it and you mix it up.
Being nasty now. Actually, there's a lot of more states that have ambrosia salad. New York, New Jersey, North Carolina.
Love ambrosia.
Then there's something called frog-eyed salad.
Nope.
I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of this. It's a dessert. It has pasta salad made with tiny noodles, egg yolks, Cool Whip, canned fruit, and mini marshmallows.
Why are all of these things in one place?
I don't know. It's just.
What is it again?
What's Kentucky? Kentucky's ambrosia salad. So, and then the rest.
Of course, that's Tony's fault.
It looks like it's either Jell-O salad. Ambrosia salad or this frog-eyed salad. I don't either.
I don't get Jell-O at all unless it's got vodka in it.
We were watching something the other night, and they were it was they were at a bar, and they all ordered these Jell-O shots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like Jell-O shots when they were popular. It's too much work. I just want to drink my alcohol, you know? I don't want it in some kind of gelatin where you got to take your tongue and lick it out of the... Well, I do like watching the women do that part, but
if you can't taste the vodka, then you're wasting your time. If you taste the vodka, then you're like, oh, okay, this is a real shot.
Right. So what? I never liked it, vodka or
Jell-O shots.
Yeah.
And then you had buddies that would make 250 of them for pregame.
I never understood a guy.
It's like, dude, you made 250 Jello shots? Yes, dude.
Yeah.
Let's run, dude, this will be last. We right before we go in the game, we will do the Jello shots. Nick, that's what we'll do.
Little fat Dwight shows up. Isn't there any pudding shots?
So you're basically describing UK fans, since they can't get tanked in the stadium. They just eat Jell-O when they go in.
We'll talk about that game in the next couple of hours. All right.
By the way, UK broke the trophy.
What? Whoa, all right, we'll talk about it. We're out of time. We're late. We'll talk about it. Well, breaking news, we'll capture it. It's already 20-something after.
Will you come back at some point?
Yeah, I'll come back and talk about it. We have footage of the trophy being removed from the box, and it's dented. And you know who's had it for the last 5 years?
Yeah, Kentucky. Yeah. All right, joke of the day. I got a couple of mama jokes if you want to go with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Let's roll with it, baby.
All right, Rick, give me the immunity music.
There's please. Rick. I can't see you, Rick. You're not on our TV.
Rick looks
here.
Like a picture of a phone.
I know. Don't swipe.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, T-Bag.
Your mama's so old.
How old is she?
She knew Burger King when he was a prince.
That old? Okay, that doggone. Yes, sir. That's a good one.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, T-Bone.
Your mama's so ugly. U-G-L-Y ugly.
How ugly is she?
She makes blind kids cry. That's your jokes of the day, November 28th, 2022. Sasquatch, keep an eye on the murder rate. Are we going to break the record or not?
We're approaching 150. We're going to be short of the record, barring some catastrophic December.
Oh, we still got it. Well,
good. Glad. Well,
I mean, we'd have to. We would have to
discount the killers.
We would have to kill somebody every day for the rest of the year.
This is Louisville, Kentucky.
And the
so.
Last time you said that, you said there was no tornadoes in a long time.
Oh,
the next day, tornadoes.
Speaking of which,
Kentucky.
Western Kentucky is under a tornado risk for Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right.
Thank you, David Cohn.
He's a sweet guy.
Yeah, he is.
All right, let's go to Tejas and talk to Jim Ryan. Jim Ryan, how are you, sir?
Morning, guys. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing great. Jim, how was your Thanksgiving, man? Did ABC let you off? Were you go visit your family and stuff, or were you stuck working?
Oh, I had to work. Thursday was off Friday, so, yeah, it's a bit of a struggle. That's okay.
Well, I'll tell you, we had family stuff, then when we got back, I smoked a turkey, spatchcock, and it turned out great and juicy, but then my wife looked at me as we're eating, and she goes, you know, this turkey's really good, but who's to say we can't just have a nice Texas brisket every Thanksgiving? I say, you know what? This might be our last turkey.
Yeah. I think why we married the turkeys.
I think turkey, and listen, it came out juicy. You know, I brined it the whole bit. I smoked it with apple juice underneath it, the whole bit. It turned out great.
But it's turkey.
But it's even the best turkey
is
turkey.
Yeah,
so
it's not a brisket.
In my opinion,
I'm gonna think the Texas guy is gonna agree with you.
Yeah, I think turkey's overrated.
I think you're right. You want to know what I made for Thanksgiving?
What?
Chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes, white gravy, and green beans.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm a step
about.
Ahead of you guys.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, turkey's overrated, and in my opinion, this is just my opinion, and it's going to be a shocker to you because I don't want to really talk about my personal life on air, but and you know how knowledgeable I am. I didn't go to college, but I would say the college degrees in some fields are overrated. I'm sure, you know, doctor, attorney, stuff like that. But there's a big there's a big difference between knowledge and wisdom. And I would also argue that when it comes to knowledge, common sense doesn't even factor into it. As a matter of fact, years ago, by the grace of God, I expressed interest into going into selling advertising. I was doing morning radio, and I said, hey, can I come on and sell advertising after the show? Well, they said, hey, we'll entertain that. Little did I know my death warrant was signed. There was cutbacks. I was fired from the morning show. I was immediately picked up. But to have a job in radio sales at the time, Jim, you had to have a college degree. I didn't have that. I went to a car wash right after I went to high school. But by the grace of God, they said, we're going to give this kid a shot. They put me into advertising. I was surrounded by college degrees. I didn't have the dress clothes yet. But with all that said and done, in the first year, I wound up winning the President's Club for best all-over sales numbers of the year.
Yeah, you did.
And I wasn't given anything. They just gave me a phone book and said, good luck.
Good luck, yeah.
I think that college degrees in some fields are overrated. Are companies starting to look at that way, too?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Some of the big ones, in fact, Alphabet and Delta Airlines and and IBM, and you know, some of the largest companies in America, Walmart, they've all kind of backed off of some of their college requirements. It reached, I mean, I guess a high point or a low point, depending upon how you want to look at it, in mid-2020, when only about 34% of jobs out there required a college degree, at least a bachelor's degree. That number now is up to 41%, but it's still well below where it was before the pandemic. And that's because there are so many open jobs, something like 10.7 million openings, and so few people to fill them, 5.8 million. So it's almost a 2-to-1 ratio there, Dwight.
Wow.
Well, and I think the second thing there is obviously student loans and the fleecing of America from universities. And the universities in every aspect is more expensive. The tuition has gone up 200% on most of these campuses in just 10 years. Yeah. And then they have contracted out to condo companies to have these dorms that aren't even dorms. I mean, Jim, you went to a dorm that was a cinder block, basically jail cell with two plastic mattresses. And a desk. If I'm wrong, you know, Jimmy, tell me. But most of the dorms look like that. Now they have marble floorings and your own shower. And these condo companies they're not even part of the university. And so they're gouging the students. And I agree with you. I think it's because it's the glutton of jobs. And they're saying we can't just pigeonhole everybody to a college degree here. We got to open this up to everybody.
Well, sure, yeah, and I think that's kind of the reasoning here. Why? And even a job, and I thought about this, you know, airline pilot for Delta Airlines, they're saying, look, if you've got your medical certificate, it's up to date, you've been through ground school, you've been through flight school, and you passed our certification process, why would you need a semester of art history or of English, you know, in order to fly an airplane? And Delta is kind of looking at that. It may be a tough sell to the public, but they've got a lot of positions to fill. Same with lots of other careers out there. So I think you're right. There's the affordability of college that plays into it, but there's this temporary shortage of workers out there and the need for companies to fill them now.
Well, I certainly hope, as a person who didn't get to go to college, I hope that the landscape is starting to change, because I remember I was just referenced how I was selling advertising. I've been on and off the air for 30 years, but in the industry for 30 years. But at one point, I got so sick of the red tape and the BS in sales. I was in prison ministry at the time, and I thought, you know what? Maybe I'll take a job as a corrections officer in one of the state penitentiaries. So I went to apply for it. And there was a 2-year bachelor's degree required to be a prison guard. I said, this makes no sense at all.
Makes no sense.
Especially when you know how little these poor men and women get paid in the penitentiaries. It's crazy.
There's no blanket. It's just like anything else. When you coach kids, you know which ones you can yell at and which ones you can hug. Who needs a college degree? Who doesn't need a college degree? Dwight, you needed the motivation of no college degree to work harder.
Yep.
Some, you know, my daughter's looking at ancient, you said art history. She's looking at ancient art history. All right, Jim Ryan? I got one inch. Yeah. My son's going to be an engineer, but he was even smart enough, Jim, to say, after I get out of the Navy, I'm not sure I might not use my aerospace engineering degree. I do know that the aerospace engineering degree from Purdue will get me any job I want, because they'll see the resume.
And he's got the GI Bill, so why not?
Correct. Right. Yeah, he doesn't care. So, you know, so he's got that going for him. But the ancient art history, the hell am I going to do with that? But I think you're correct. I think that it's bouncing back, but there'll be a happy medium between it all. And hopefully they'll all figure it out.
And I have no idea why they require a college degree to be a salesperson in radio. I mean,
they did.
Crazy.
What?
No, that's crazy. They did. I want to say it was a 4-year degree at the time. I could be wrong.
Well, analytics. But let's not get it twisted, Jim. You know this true because of your industry. Analytics has taken over everything. So they don't want salespeople like we grew up with that had a little diamond pinky ring that could go in and sell anybody anything. Right? That guy or girl was the best there was. They don't want that. They want a vanilla, follow these rules, here's your pitch line, fill out the paperwork, get it done. In your industry, our industry, any industry, it's all sports, it's all analytics. They want vanilla, fit in this box.
And I got to tell you, there was some of that when I was in sales. They would say, hey, we want to see everybody's proposals. You got to have these, you know, what do you call them, with a click-through.
And it's 10 times worse than when you were in.
I would go in, and half the time it'd be a cocktail napkin. And you obviously, hey, we're going to do this, X, Y, Z. Because I didn't have the knowledge to create a real proposal.
Right, correct.
I'm serious. Ask some of my clients, man.
That's why they got you an assistant. All right, Jim Ryan, have fun in Texas. Happy Thanksgiving. Wrap it up, and let's get towards Christmas. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Take care, guys.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Did the in-laws do a number on your plumbing on Thanksgiving? Listen, that's a real thing. That is a real thing. Look it up. Oh, my gosh, yes. You get so many people crammed into a house. You know what happens when you eat and you hang out all day? It can wreak havoc on your plumbing. Folks, call Tom Drexler. 1-800. Just call one Tom Drexler. That's his number. His name is his number. He's an icon when it comes to plumbing. The best of the best. But did you know you get that same perfection with Tom Drexler Electric, Tom Drexler Heating and Air, even bathroom remodel, you name it. Go to his site and check out all the services that you get with Tom Drexler. Just call the man whose name is his number. It's one Tom Drexler, yeah.
What did he say to Aunt B?
Aunt B, just call the man.
Back after this. All right, folks, we're bringing in a third here for this break. Ian Vertrees, afternoon sports director. How are you, sir?
Is that what we're calling me now? Sports director?
Nobody knows.
In charge of sports and afternoons?
Vice president of afternoon sports analysis, Ian Vertrees.
Well, I think I must have missed an email while I was there.
When you're the only person here doing sports in the afternoons, you are now the director.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Okay, put it on your card. Yeah.
Throw a vice president.
Card? Who has business cards?
Right.
Simmer down, old man.
But throw a vice presidency on there because you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a vice president at his radio
station.
That's
true. We've got like eight of them in this building.
I know. At one point, I felt self-conscious because I wasn't a vice president, you know?
Personally. Well, you are.
Am I?
Yeah.
Okay, vice president of... Never mind.
Hey, but before
we can't say the title.
Before we get to sports ball, I teased a story, but before I get to the story, I teased. Happy birthday to Allison Lobdell. She listens every day. What should I give her age?
She married to a Coach Lobdell. That sounds like a coachlet name. Coach Lobdell.
Coach Lob.
He's the new middle school basketball coach in Coach Westport Lobdell. Middle School.
They don't throw a lot of lobs, but
women really like it when you give them their age out on the radio. Should I say how old Allison Lobdell is? Or maybe her weight instead.
You do what you want to do, brother.
No, I'll just say, happy birthday, Allison Lobdell.
Happy birthday!
Well, Air India's cabin crew has some new owners, and they have some new rules.
Who does?
Air India.
Oh, Air India.
Air India. Yeah, the Tata Group just went ahead and bought them. So Air India has new owners, but they also have new rules for the crew. So much that there's a 40-page crew book, but some of these regulations, if that's what they want to do, I guess they can do it. They require, man, if you have a receding hairline or male balding patches, first of all, call We Grow Hair Indy. But if you're a crew member and you don't do that, they make you shave your head every single day so you're clean and shiny.
Yeah. Wow.
Now.
Yeah, man.
That's a lot of work.
Hey, baldy, shave it or not, you look weird.
40-page booklet of this was given to the staff. Let's do one more, and then we'll get out of here and get into sports ball. Oh, another one. If male or female, if you start to have gray hair appear, you have to dye your hair to the natural shade color or you're fired.
Do you notice he had to specify up here?
Yeah.
Does that go gray?
Yes.
Does it really?
Yes.
Wow.
All righty. Ian Vertrees.
I don't want to know how he knows that.
Well,
newly named.
He dated.
Afternoon sports director.
Sure, why not?
He used to frequent Jim Porter, so if anybody would know, he would know.
That's true.
Thank you. Ian Vertrees, Saturday afternoon, the Governor's Cup. It's been 5 years and four wins for the University of Kentucky. Your thoughts?
Well, one, they don't seem to be treating that trophy very well. Did you see the pictures?
Okay. No,
it's all dented up. Yeah, like, what are they doing with that thing?
Well, listen, you know, it's damage happens over time.
I guess.
With trophies.
But, I mean, if it's the only rivalry trophy you're going to win, because they don't give out one for the really non-existent Tennessee-Kentucky rivalry. Yeah, I mean, you think you'd want to take care of it, but clearly that's not the case.
Well, you know, sometimes when you're celebrating, things can get dropped. Of course, University of Louisville might not be familiar with that.
I got sucked into the last 3 years of Louisville was ascending and Kentucky was sort of leveling off. But this year I said, I'm not buying it this year. I think that there is some statistics that line up that Louisville should make it a pretty good game. But I said, I'm not taking it. I'm not going to say anything until they win the game. And I was right to do that.
Well, I told the wife beforehand, she's like, do you think they can win? I said, no, I don't think they can win until they actually do again. Yeah. At that point, then I'll say, okay, well, maybe there's a chance. But you're right. The defense had been playing better. Kentucky's offensive line had been probably
Most sacks in this country.
Well, and it probably been the worst one they've had in 5-6 years. I mean, by far.
The big blue wall.
The big blue wall had been a real thing until this season, and they just had not played well. Louisville was leading the country in sacks, so you thought there was an edge there.
Those two things tell you it's a bad day for Will Levis.
Well, absolutely.
I was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And I didn't watch one snap, but my dumbass invited our friends down from Cincinnati. I said, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. Come on down. We'll have some Bear-Nose pizza. And I did. And I guess I should have consulted my wife first. They got here at 3 o'clock. So I said, hey, you know what? Have you ever seen Louisville? Let me. And they said, yeah, sure, we've seen it.
I watched until the pick, and it was almost a pick six, but they punched it in right afterwards. I watched it after the pick. I flipped out. I said, I know how this is going to end. And it ended the same way, double-digit loss for Louisville. But I'm not sure that Coach Satterfield understands how important that game is to the rest of the
team. Well, hang on. Let's put a pin in that for 1 second before you answer that. Okay. Because here's why I was nervous. Because we had friends down, and I thought, well, I'm going to let you all in a little secret. I'm going to break that fourth wall.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sometimes my wife can get upset when University of Kentucky loses.
No.
True. It's true. Believe me.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I invited our guest down. I better see what the point spread is. It was a 3-point spread. That's what made me nervous.
It was wrong.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well,
I don't think Satterfield gets it.
I don't know that it gets it. I think it's just the way that those teams prepare for every game. Do you ever, like, if you watch Kentucky and then you watch them in the Governor's Cup game, it's not that much different than what you see from them every week.
Yeah.
Well, Louisville isn't either, but it's that attitude that the UK coaching staff brings that this Louisville coaching staff doesn't have.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like there's a different level of preparedness or readiness or just will desire to get out there and dominate on one side versus the other.
Here's the other thing that I think we all miscalculated, that the ACC has declined over the last 5 years and the SEC has improved. When Ole Miss and Mississippi State, usual bottom feeders, are recruiting really well, getting good coaches, Kentucky's better. Vandy is beating Florida and Kentucky. I think the level of play of the SEC has risen.
Vandy actually stands for Vanderbilt.
And thank you.
Thank you.
ACC is trash.
I'll agree to part of that. I don't think the ACC is very good. I think Clemson held up the conference for a while. Mm-hmm. They've dipped a little bit. Their quarterback play is so bad. So they've come back to the pack a little bit. I don't know that the SEC is all that better across the board. I just think there are different teams that are good right now than there used to be. Like Florida used to be able to pencil them in as one of the top two teams in the East.
Absolutely.
They are garbage.
Because the other ones have risen.
Well, but they've fallen.
I agree.
Their coaching level, their athlete level is not the same as it was before. They're not getting the kids that they used to get. Now, Kentucky's getting some of those kids. Tennessee is back to getting some of those kids.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of years, Missouri was the best team in the East.
It's
now they're not any good.
No.
I think it's just a change of the teams that are good. I think at the bottom, the SEC is still kind of murky and not very good. I'm not sure Vandy's very good, but Kentucky played terrible the game that they got beat by Vandy. Yeah. Florida played awful the game that they got beat by Vandy.
Oh, my God.
It's just one of those things. But I think the level of preparedness was different for that game. And just the level of want to in that game. I mean, you can see it. Kentucky was the bully all afternoon long.
Yep.
You know, just the extra little pushes, you know, if you're getting off the pile. Yep. And the Louisville guys looked like the reaction to it wasn't, hey, stop doing that. It was like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Look,
it's just there's a fight there, but not as much fight as the other team. And you checked out a little late. I mean, I watched the entire game, but as soon as they came out of halftime and went three and out with a chance to yes. take the lead, I was like, this game's over. If Kentucky scores, this game's over.
Yeah. Something needs to fire up these football players, and this is some out-of-the-box thinking.
Okay.
But would it help if maybe Jack Harlow came out on the field and said,
I think he was there. I did see a picture on his social media.
Yeah, but maybe
media.
Give him the mic and let him address the, you know, take him down to the locker room at halftime and say, here's Jack Harlow.
Hey, do you know the old Chevy dealer, Tom Payette?
Yeah, I remember Tom.
That's Jack,
his grandfather.
His grandfather.
Is it really?
Yeah. I found that out this weekend. I was like, what?
So did he change his name from Payette?
Well, maybe she married someone, you doofus.
Oh, that's right. There is that marriage thing going on in Kentucky.
Some
maybe that can explain
actually
it. Yeah.
Take the name.
Yeah, right. You don't have to be married to have kids.
Yeah.
My wife did that stupid hyphenated thing. I said, listen, either you commit and you're a Witten or not.
Okay, so Governor's Cup again goes to Kentucky. It is now 5 years because people forget we skipped a year.
Yeah, there was the one game that or the 1 year that the SEC couldn't play anybody outside of the conference.
Yes, but now it looks like Kentucky, and you see the flip because I put something up from 2010 to 2018 where Louisville won, I think it was 7 of 8,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of red.
And
in
that's
there.
What scared me because I saw your post. And yeah. Oh, good Lord. And that's what inspired me to look at the spread.
Yeah, I said, is it going to, you know, because it can flip on a dime and then all of a sudden Louisville wins 4 in a row and then they win 5 in a row, whatever. But Kentucky looks like they're going to lose a bunch of their coaches. And if they lose the big guy to Cincinnati, who's the recruiter?
Vince Morrow.
If they lose him, that's a big loss. And if Louisville moves on to a new coach and keeps that recruiting class, it could start to go in the other direction. Or are we still going to be a couple years before that happens?
I think Kentucky is going to lose some coaches. I don't know. Vince is going to get a shot at Cincinnati, but I don't know if he's going to end up being their guy. Because, I mean, they've had a pretty successful run there in Cincinnati.
You think?
Are you going to take the shot at a first-time head coach?
Yep.
You know, a guy that doesn't call plays or anything like that for you? I'm not sure that's where you go.
Did they have a little stint with the crazy politician guy from Auburn? It's now a senator. Who was the coach?
Oh, is that Bowden?
No.
Or is it the other one?
Oh, no, wait. Whatever the crazy senator is, he's a Republican. He's somewhere.
Isn't that one of Bowden's kids?
He might be. Yeah, he coached for like 2 years there. All right. So if
I was talking about Luke Fickell.
Yeah. Fickell's the best. Ooh. And then Brian Kelly was there. It was
I like Fickell's pickles.
So,
Brian Kelly. Ugh.
All right. So moving to basketball.
Wait, I got one real quick question on this UK U of L football game.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't there talk where that was going to go away?
Oh, there's always talk that'll go away. The SEC is going to get rid of their divisions and just go to one big conference. And then there's a possibility that they increase the number of conference games to 9. If they do that, the Kentucky side has said, oh, well, we might have to get rid of the game. Although they threatened that before, and Frankfurt was like, you're not getting rid of the game.
Here's my question. If they do, does it hurt both programs just a little bit?
Yeah.
It does, right?
Because it takes away that natural rivalry.
I mean, that's the excitement. I mean, sure, you want the winning season, you want the winning conference record, the whole bit, you want to go to the bowl, but it's a pretty big deal, right?
It keeps interest throughout the season.
Yeah.
Kentucky fans started to lose interest, and you get the Governor's Cup there. Louisville fan, same way. Bowl games don't count. So, like, no one cares anymore about bowl games. Bowl games are about going to the party.
Yeah, go ahead and expect both fan bases to have guys that don't play in the bowl game. The rumor is Will Levis, Chris Rodriguez probably won't play.
No one cares.
There's a really big possibility Malik Cunningham doesn't play in the bowl game for Louisville.
Doesn't matter. It's TV money, and the town split it up. The rumor is Louisville would play in the Wisconsin in the something Lone Bowl or something.
Well, and the other weird possibility, I saw this on Twitter, is I guess one of the possibilities for UK is Music City in Nashville.
Great bowl.
Unfortunately, it's at the same time as the basketball game.
Well,
the Louisville-Kentucky basketball game.
And on that note, and we've got just two or three minutes here.
And one other quick thing. I don't think Scott Satterfield's going anywhere.
Oh, you think he's going to stay?
I think 7 wins and a possible 8 in the bowl game gets him a new deal.
Stay. Who knows?
I don't think it's a long-term deal,
yeah.
But I think he's going to be around to see that new recruiting class make it to campus.
Yeah, but it's not a huge buyout if they decide to get rid of him, but I agree with you. He won enough to stay another year with that recruiting class. All right, so basketball, Louisville's 0-6.
Oh, man.
And they're probably going to go 0-7. They have a game tonight.
No, it's tomorrow. Kentucky hosts Bellarmine tomorrow. We'll have that action for you here on News Radio 840.
UK's playing Bellarmine?
That's right.
Oh, come on. I got to see. I might have to watch this.
7 o'clock, pregame 4:30 tomorrow here on News Radio 840 WHAS. Louisville has Maryland tomorrow night.
She's cool.
Who's actually played
her
very well. And yeah, you can probably go ahead and write that one down.
I think there's only been a couple of teams in the last century and a half or whatever we've been playing college basketball that have gone 0-7.
You know, I got a Bellarmine Knights.
In Division One.
I got a Bellarmine Knights shirt.
I know you don't.
How much you give me if I wear that down tomorrow when Susan's watching the game?
I think I would be a
huge mistake. I'd rather see Davenport win. I'll take the no special lady time.
Aren't you going on vacation with her?
Like you're getting special lady time anyway inviting friends in town the football game's on.
That's true.
Stupid. All right, the afternoon sports director, Ian Versus.
Yes, I'll take it.
Yeah. Vice President of Sports Analysis, Ian Vertrees.
I like it.
And thanks for making me work all week last week when you were sick.
It was the week before. Last week off.
You're right.
Shots, kids.
Thank you.
And listen to Ian 7 to midnight on WQMF tonight.
I'll be back with mandatory Metallica Monday.
Oh, wow. That's a blast from the past.
It's the Afternoon Underdogs on 790 KRD. Now, here's Tony Bonetti and Dave Jennings.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Kenny Wayne Shepherd will be our guest again tomorrow, along with actor C. Thomas Howe. You saw him in all these 80s movies, Outsiders, and all kinds of stuff. Hey, I want to recognize a group of fantastic individuals.
Unreal, really, the number.
I love this group. They do something called Metal Meal Meltdown. Metal meal is an eating a meal.
As in heavy metal.
Yeah.
And cooking.
And what they do is they fill up time slots 24 hours a day around the clock, and the whole thing is just to raise money for these poor children at St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital.
Santa Jude.
Now, if you follow him on Twitter, it's Ping, P-I-N-G-S-T-E-A-L, Ping Steel. His real name's Jason. We've become friends over the years. He was a listener. We've met, and they just do so much good for the neighborhood. Here was their goal. For Metal Mill Meltdown, their goal was $70,000. What did they raise? $103,564.97.
Congratulations, Pink Steel and his friends. It's heavy metal music, cooking, and it's all online, and they raised $103,000. This is something that was an idea a couple of years ago.
Yep.
It's a thing today. It's really what drew me to radio and what I still do today, which is it's an idea yesterday. We talk about it today, and tomorrow it's an actual thing where you're raising money for charities and or business or where anything else. Creating's fun, and from out of nothing to $103,000 for kids with cancer and that are sick is really kind of amazing.
Way to go, Metal Meal Meltdown. Well, there's punishment for watching too much TV in China, or at least there was for a couple of parents, and now they're taking issue on social media, which their child was watching too much TV. So what was the punishment? Watch more TV. They forced their kid to stay up all night watching more and more television. Somehow the closed circuit video of the punishment made it on the internet, and there was a public outcry when it went viral. I guess what they did is they made the child stay up the entire night, and they deprived him of sleep. At one point, you could see the kid crying and pleading for sleep. Yeah. Eventually, about 5 a.m., they let him go back to sleep. But I guess...
Is this like the old, I caught you with a cigarette, so now you're going to smoke the whole pack right now, and you get sick, and you throw up, and you don't want a cigarette again?
I guess...
Is that the tactic?
I guess it is. And, you know, you think about this child.
By the way, that's what they used to do to teenagers in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Right.
Well, but you want to be a smoke, huh? You want to smoke there, big shot? Sit down and smoke the whole pack
Pop, right now. Pop did it to me, and about four packs in, I went, hey, you ain't got any beer to go with this, do you?
Yeah. All right, did you see the protests that are going on in China?
But here's what I'm thinking. That's where I'm going is China. I guess the kid didn't have any sleep, and he had to get up and work a 16-hour day for Nike to make his 7 cents. It's not like the kids in China are getting treated real well anyway, right?
I love that Nike doesn't even hide from it.
I know.
Yeah, we pay children.
Yes. This... Air Jordan shoe.
Don't buy them.
It's a limited edition. It's going to cost you $450, but it cost us 73 cents to make.
Every other company's trying not to make a mistake socially,
right.
And Nike's like, yes, I don't care. Don't buy them.
Yeah, we have slave labor. Have you seen next year's Jordans?
I don't care. Right, that's right.
It's slave labor, but have you felt how comfortable these Nike flip-flops are?
I said I'm not, because all the bad tactics they've done, I stopped buying Nikes years ago, and then I found a pair that were really cheap and really good-looking, and I bought it. It was only one pair. It was a couple years ago.
But I bought Converse.
Yeah. All right. But you saw the, so China is broadcasting the... World Cup.
Oh, right? Okay.
So the Chinese are pissed because they were watching and all of the crowds are packed and no one's wearing a mask.
They're like, wait a minute.
You said everybody was still wearing masks. But that's, I don't know how to say that in Chinese.
Well, I do, but.
Do you think they have a wait a minute in Chinese?
They might. They got it right.
But so here's what China started doing. During the broadcast, they showed just the bench and the coaches. They won't show the crowds anymore.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Because everyone's not a mask. People in China don't realize the rest of the world moved on from COVID.
Could you imagine if you lived in a country where the media was one-sided? That would be horrible.
It would be so horrible.
Horrible. Well, I didn't watch the Macy's parade because even as a kid...
I hate the Macy's parade.
What? Stupid. It's not just Macy. Even as a kid...
Why do you have a Bullwinkle balloon?
I hated all parades when I was a kid. I'm like,
Bullwinkle?
How many Scooby-Doo floats can you see? But evidently, Smokey the Bear had his share of fans when it came to the female demographic.
What?
Well, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade had a shirtless Smokey the Bear, but they revamped him.
Yeah.
He's got rock and ripped physique. He's got skinny jeans on. He had ripped abs.
Yeah.
So people on Twitter started calling him a D-I-L-F, DILF. I have no idea what that could mean. And then some called them a Zaddy, Z-A-D-D-Y, which evidently that means an attractive older man. People were saying things like, hey, Smokey the Bear never missed chest day. Hey, look at that ab work. So I guess they've revamped Smokey the Bear to be sexy.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good plan since they haven't upgraded him since 1922.
But bears are supposed to be fat and jolly and go, oh, hey, Mr. You know what I'm saying?
Rick, what's the thing he used to say at the end?
Picnic baskets? Yeah,
No, that's the other one. What did he say?
Who is that again?
Smokey the Bear.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Yes, there it is. Everyone knows that slogan because it was pounded in our heads over and over again.
Unless the fire was created in the female's loins because he was looking so hot.
That's right.
Then he's actually starting a fire.
Only you.
That's right.
Can prevent forest fires.
But only
I said horse fires.
Only I can set your loins on fire by looking at my physique.
Jackie has said to me, that's one thing I'll make you do is take me to, and I don't want to go. I don't want to go to the parade. I don't want to go to the Macy's parade. I don't want to go.
No.
She's like, you're taking me at some point. And I'm like, I don't go to the Derby parade.
Right.
And it's here every year.
I've never understood when it's clear that I don't want to do something, why would you want me to go anyway? For example, like
take someone that wants to go.
Right. I would never drag Susan to a Saxon concert because I know she doesn't like Saxon. I wouldn't want to be standing there thinking the person next to me is miserable, but I wanted her to be here. What's the point of making someone go to crap like that?
Well, she stopped making you go to the tennis matches.
Well, no, she told me not to because...
Why is that, Dwight?
I went to one tennis match.
And?
They were playing tennis, but the women weren't making any noises. So I was sitting on the picnic table, and whenever one would hit the ball, I would go... I started making noises for them.
This is a true story.
Then I told them, I can't tell what the score is. There's no scoreboard. And I would just get, because there wasn't. There was no scoreboard.
Susan was mortified.
Oh, God, the looks. And then here's the worst part. I like the first two things, especially me making noises when they hit the ball. I'm a dumbass. I'm a goofball. I can understand her getting pissed off at that. But here's one time she made a great shot and I clapped.
Yeah, you can't do that.
She glared at me. And afterwards, I told her, I said, honey, I get the making noises.
Tennis is weird.
And she goes, you never clap. I'm like, even people on the TV, they clap.
Let's be honest. It was the,
that's exactly what it
that
was.
That was what the final straw was. It's like, stop doing that.
Here's my wife's tennis noise.
Yeah. So.
And that's just when she's getting off the bench.
So, 27 million people watched the stupid Macy's Day Parade. 27 million.
You don't get it, man. These are balloons shaped like animals going slowly down the streets of New York. If you're too stupid, if you're too dense to understand that.
And, of course, they all have the dancers from all of the Broadway plays. And it is, I am shocked to find out that 20 years later, The Lion King is still.
It's still a thing?
Still a thing. Cats is still a thing. What? Now, the singing, the soundtrack for Lion King is amazing, but...
Cats are still a thing, right, meow?
Yes, right, meow.
Right, meow.
Mm-hmm. Then and meow.
Then and meow.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, coming up the top of the hour after news, there's a judge. Strike that, for the record. There's a super hot judge.
Oh, Lord.
And boy, is she in trouble. I need to post her picture.
God.
On my Facebook page before I do the story, because she is unbelievably hot. So who do we have here now?
I got Edlin and Edlin.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Edlin and Edlin, real estate brokers, folks, they will sell your home for 1% commission. What does that mean? That means for a $500,000 house, you'll keep about 12 to 15% of the take, or I'm sorry, $12,000 to $15,000 in your pocket of the equity in your own damn home. Why would you give all that equity to a real estate agent when you can get the same job done for 1% rather than the other folks that charge that, right? So Edlin and Edlin been around for 46 years, 47 now. I talked to the owner the other day, and he said, we have got to keep $1 million worth of equity back to the people that sold homes with them. $1 million in 1 year. Edlin and Edlin. Go to Edlin.com. They have a sliding scale, whether you're buying or you're selling, to see what you're going to keep. And, or you could call 599-2800. 599-2800. Why would you sell your home with anyone else except for Edlin and Edlin? Just 1% commission. Back after this. I forgot. What did we pimp last hour?
I'm going to do this judge story.
Oh, the hot judge.
Boy, it's a good one. Hey, tomorrow I want to remind you, join us. Brian Johns from Mosby Records is going to be talking Towing for Tots. Plus, we have actor C. Thomas Howe and guitar great Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
I'll be on the couch watching Warrior Nun.
Enjoy. Enjoy your time off.
They're ninja nuns that go around and...
So I locked down my Twitter when...
Okay, so you put this on Twitter or Facebook?
I put it on Facebook.
Yeah, you're going to get hit.
Yeah, let me see if it's still up. It's still up. So if you want to see what this judge looks like, go to my Facebook page, Dwight Whitten. It's up. It's still up for right now. These pictures that are up, they're sexy pictures, but this is not what she's in trouble for this time. The judge's name is Judge Vivian Polina. She's taking heat for showing up to a Zoom hearing. So while she was attending this Zoom hearing, She was in her underwear in bed, sucking on a cigarette.
Thank you.
While the hearing was determined to see if a man should be held in retaliation to a terror bombing attack, if that person should be granted bail. Now, the ethics overseers are calling for the judge to be suspended for 3 months for not being dressed appropriately and professionally during the hearing.
Of course.
As far as the judge says, she says the 33-second video of her lacks context. And she was only lying down in her underwear because she was suffering anxiety attack during the proceedings. So,
okay, well,
but it's not the first time that she's been in trouble.
Mental illness is it kind of a thing? What do you mean? Oh,
this is not the first time. So this is what she's in heat for now. The pictures that I posted are old pictures, but not too old, but where she was in trouble for her Instagram account because she's posted nudes. She's posted the pictures that I have on Facebook. I don't want my account to get suspended, so I hope it doesn't. They're not nude. But
before she was a judge?
No, while she was a judge.
Okay.
No, while she was a judge, she
there
makes
is a
pictures.
Level of decorum, and they expect if you're going to be a judge, then you have to act like you belong there. I agree with the line here. You cannot be posting pictures where you're naked. Sorry. Now, if this, let's flip it. If this was a male judge in his underwear smoking a cigarette waiting to hear a case.
Yeah, that you suspend that one, but keep the female.
He'd have been suspended the second before the video was over. He'd have been suspended.
Listen, it is not just justices that are doing this. I was having a conversation with a Louisville judge.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I won't name names because I don't know if she would want this out. But she was telling me a story about during COVID, they were doing this Zoom trial because everything was Zoom, you know?
Yeah,
everything
was
electronic. So everybody, including the judge, they're all on computer screens. And she keeps, the defendant is making grunting noises and faces the entire time. She asked, she said, sir, are you medically, are you okay? What's going on with you? He was on the toilet.
Yeah.
During his court proceeding, he was sitting on the toilet.
I don't mind that. When you got to go,
But you got to pause and say, can I take a rest? You don't take the judge and everybody else in the restroom with you.
You got to go.
Maybe you're right.
I did a couple of TV hits from the toilet during COVID. WHAS 11, you're welcome.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, so, let's expand that. So if it's a man, done, right?
Yeah. Right,
so,
your career, you're done with.
He's done with. So you can't do that. I believe she'll probably be able to get away with it if she says mental health. I get it. Today, that is a thing. When, Rick, we're about to talk to Rick working at Wacky in 1979. There was no mental health day. There was no, what do you mean you don't mentally feel like you can come in today? What do you mean you're depressed? That's all flipped. And it's for the better. It's for the better. It's not, the good old days. We should just be tough and just punch through. No, let people have their days. Anxiety is real. It's hard to move your body when you have an anxiety attack, much less come into work and do your job. So it's crazy. Rick is our producer. It has been for years. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Rick drives the nicest car in the entire...
Yes, he does. It's a Lamborghini. If you ever seen that, like there's one Lamborghini riding around Louisville, and you're like, who's that guy? It's Rick.
It's purple.
I don't get it.
What, Rick? Why did you choose him?
He's a
purple Lamborghini.
Well, I wanted to stand out, so I figure purple will do it.
Yeah, plus you're a big fan of Minnesota. And
so he's rich. So he, you worked at Wacky, the original Wacky, 4th Street. Now, that I went to an interview there when it was 790... whatever it was. It was a talk station, and I was going to do something for them, and I went down there, and I was like, this is where Wacky was.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, because 790 was Wacky.
Well, let me tell you, I wanted to be in radio since 7 years old. 7 years old, I decided this is what I want to do. And my influences, my very first influence was Bill Bailey on Wacky.
Did you meet him or know him?
I got a good Bill Bailey story for you.
Yeah, we want to hear it.
If you want to hear it.
No, we absolutely,
yours,
because listen, the very first influence I had that made me want to be in radio was the Duke of Louisville, Bill Bailey.
Go.
He's one of the nicest guys.
Is he?
Yeah. Well, here's the story. I worked all nights there at Wacky, and the very first night I worked, Bailey was notorious for not coming in on time. He was supposed to be on the air from 5 till 9 every morning.
Yeah. Right.
So he usually showed up about 5:30. So the all-night guy, just that was a prerequisite. You have to stay extra until Bailey walks in.
I remember that. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember the first time I ever met Bill Bailey. He walks in the door about 5:30, bloodshot eyes, and looks at me and goes, "Rick Ryder, how in the hell are you?"
But no, you're right, though, because...
Wasn't there a bar right across the street?
Right.
And there were, I think Coyote told me several times, we would go over and get him and just drag him across 4th Street. His feet would be dragging over the cobblestones or whatever it was. And then dragging
I think that bar was called Coons the Dutchman, I believe. That was, yeah, Bailey frequented that place quite
Coons
often.
Coons the Dutchman.
But Coons the Dutchman, it was a nice joint, though, wasn't it?
It was until Bailey got there.
Yeah, I guarantee it. But Cowdy Calhoun, which I worked with, or we worked with for decades, he was on that station. He did evenings on that station, and that's when they played 45s. So and those songs back then were very short. They were 3 minutes, and I believe at that time Cowdy was talking in between each song.
Yeah, and something about Coyote too, at the top of the hour, he always picked a song right after the station ID that had like at least a 30-second intro so he can hold the old clock. Like 7:00. Yeah. He did that. He played Gimme Some Lovin' by the Spencer Davis Group out of the station ID one time. And I think that's like a 40-second intro.
Yeah.
And he held that old clock on that. That's amazing.
Well, here's a little inside baseball. When you hear the jock talking among the music, he's talking, he or she's talking over the music, and then when they stop talking, say like 840 WHS, and then the vocals come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's called hitting the post.
Hitting the post. Talking up the ramp and hitting the post.
All right.
Well, on WQMF one night, we had a new guy come in, and he was playing, it's John Cougar's Ain't Even Done With the Night.
It's 2 minutes and 80. It's almost three minute talk-up.
Right. And I said, surely to God, he's not going to try to talk. And he did.
Yeah.
Anyway, my mom decided when I was 6 that baseball wasn't right for. She pulled me out of T-ball. What a... Just play the song.
I had one of the old bands on. I can't. The Monarchs, maybe. Does that sound right?
Yeah, they're still together today. Yeah.
So they came in. This is 15 years ago, and they came in when I was on 790 WKRD, and we were doing the Afternoon Underdogs. And they came in to talk about the album, and then I think Billy Reed, God rest his soul, was talking about a book he was writing, and he brought those guys in, and they were talking about the Wacky days. And I looked at him and said, "You know you're on Wacky right now." And he looked up at the big 790 and goes, "Oh my gosh, you're right, I am." Because he was just always, "Oh, those were the days. If you got a chance to be on Wacky, that was it, that was it." And I was like, "You know you're on that station right now." Our 790 KRD, which we've been, sports for a long time, that was the most popular music station in Louisville.
No, absolutely. And by the way, Rick, they did things that were huge within the city of Louisville. The Wacky Haunted House was always the haunted house you wanted to go to.
Yeah, it was right at the corner of 4th and St. Catherine.
Right. Yes.
Every year.
And then they also, I don't even remember this, they had the Wacky Rambling Raft Race.
Yes,
and people
yes.
would build their rafts.
And they did it until somebody died.
Right, I guess.
Somebody drowned, they had to stop it. Because they made them out of cardboard.
They didn't
wake
out of anything. And people would have this raft race down the Ohio.
It was like Derby. It was during Derby. I think they just, and you had to write, you raced your own homemade built boat raft down the river. And I think finally somebody died and they're like, okay,
luckily, the homemade raft contest somehow morphed into the homemade bikini contest at the Toy Tiger.
Somehow. I seen that a couple of times.
Things did work out after all, though. So, but anyway, you were right. You were talking about how. Because now in radio, it's not quite the same. If somebody's not showing up for their shift, there's other people here. But when I was working at WQMF, and I was, everybody starts out overnights. if the morning show's not there, or whoever's not there at 6 a.m., 5 a.m., whenever you're supposed to leave, you're sitting there. Your ass is stuck there by yourself.
No automation, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they obviously most famous for starting their station by playing Purple People Eater 24 hours straight.
That's why Rick has a purple Lamborghini.
There you go.
See, it all comes back. Full circle.
That was about 1957, 58, I think.
Yeah. Wow. No way. That is crazy.
Well, it's another stupid lawsuit. A woman is suing over the ready time of her Velveeta shells and cheese. Talking about Amanda Ramirez. She bought the...
Is she calling liars?
Yeah, here's what she's saying. But I don't see on any planet how this is physically possible. Ramirez claims she has a class action lawsuit filed saying she never would have bought the product if she knew how long it took to prepare. She says on the box, the label says it takes 3.5 minutes to prepare. So I don't know if it's a microwave deal or what, but if it's boiling shells and cheese... I mean, you're not even going to get it boiling water unless you have...
Well, you boil the water first.
Right.
And then you throw it in. The noodles should take about 4 minutes or so, I guess, is what she's saying.
She says in the suit, she claims that it doesn't say exactly how long, or it says that it's supposed to be done in 3.5 minutes. She doesn't say how long it took her to prepare her macaroni and cheese, but apparently she thinks it's worth $5 million for having to take that time. So here, another these lawsuits. I wish that it could be turned around on the people that, you know, with these stupid lawsuits like this.
Yeah.
And say, well, of course you're going to lose, and now you're going to pay.
Yeah. I'm going to say something unpopular.
Okay.
I think macaroni and cheese is trash.
Oh my gosh! Of all the things, what if it's listening right now?
I think it's trash.
Listen,
I don't get macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese has feelings too.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Is it a poor man's fettuccine Alfredo? What are we doing?
I love macaroni and cheese.
Ugh.
But only if you have the powdered cheese.
Yeah, you like the 1970s stuff,
right? Mm. It's like I sent my wife out. I said, "Hey, honey, we have spaghetti night, but we're out of Parmesan cheese. Please go get some." So she went to Sam's. I'm expecting, like any red blood American is expecting, a round green cylinder.
Yeah, of fake cheese inside.
Well, it's not necessarily, it says Parmesan cheese on it, so it's not fake.
It's not a filler.
But of powder. She brings back shredded Parmesan cheese.
Actual Parmesan cheese.
I said, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? Yeah. This doesn't soak up into the pasta sauce.
Yeah.
What are you? I had to ask her, I said, what are you, an idiot? Boy, I kind of regret asking her that.
Yeah, that's not good. You didn't go to work that next day.
Must have been her time of the month or something.
But you know what? You should have just gone to Pabst.
Ah, listen, that's
beef jerky, dude.
Right. There's one jerky, baby, and it's Pabst beef jerky. We keep it in the Witten kitchen. We also keep it in both of our cars. Now Susan's doing it. Why? It's the perfect snack. Pabst beef jerky's not going to melt and get all over your interior. Plus, you're not going to get that sugar crash. Not to mention, Pabst Beef Jerky is the best beef jerky in the universe because it's handmade right here in Louisville, Kentucky. And I mean really handmade. I'm talking about men and women hand slicing. Did you hear that? Hand slicing. It's not machines stomping things out. The premium cuts of meat, then putting them into the seasoning into these big, beautiful box smokers. And then that's how you get Pabst Beef Jerky. Find your favorite flavor. I'm going to highly encourage you to try the Grippo's Barbecue. That's mine. That's what I keep with me. But every flavor is delicious. Find yours at PabstJerky.com. That was a fun interview. Steven Van Zandt from the Springsteen East Street Band.
Okay. I have a deal for you.
You do?
Frontier Airlines.
Yeah?
They're offering $600. Here's the deal. $600, unlimited flight, annual pass.
What?
That includes a $15 per ticket fee when you actually fly.
Okay. Here's what I'm in fear of, though. I'm in fear that in the Frontier boardroom or something, they were going, we're getting ready to go under. How can we do one last cash grab?
Okay.
You know, I don't know that to be true, okay, but that's just my criminal thinking.
Well, they're not thinking about this
kicking
year. Because here's what you have to do. So $600, you fly unlimited for a year, and but you have to sign up for the second year. The second year is $2,000.
It's still worth it.
So $2,600, you fly anywhere you want, every weekend if you want, for 2 years.
I'm good with that.
I think it's a damn good price.
Well, of course it is. I mean, honey, I'm wanting to go up to Cincinnati to our friends. Well, let's just fly there. What do you say?
Yes, so two years, $2,600 a piece, and there are 56 blackout dates out of the 365.
Okay. And that's going to be the holidays, and I want to do that anyway.
And here's the other caveat. They won't confirm your flight till the day before.
Oh, okay. So listen.
Yeah.
Susan has a friend that worked for Delta.
Mm-hmm.
And about 20 years ago, we wanted to go to Atlanta to see the Rolling Stones. So her friend set us up on these tickets for free or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was fine. Problem was, when we were coming back from Atlanta to Louisville from the Stone Show, it was some kind of deal like, well, you aren't paying, so you're on this waiting list.
Yes.
We got on, but I hate crap like that.
Yeah, the uncertainty is a little bit rough.
For example, when we fly to Cabo San Lucas, I always make sure that we have a long, long layover coming back because you got to go through customs. Mm-hmm. I don't like the rushing and knowing if I'm not going to make my flight. You know, I want plenty of time.
All right, and his second flight opportunity is in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky International Airport. Yes, Cincinnati's biggest airport is in Kentucky. Announced the newest airline. They are going to do five times a week that you're going to have a direct flight to London.
Wow. London, Kentucky?
No, London, England.
Oh,
okay.
That makes more sense. Yeah, that's more attractive.
You can book now for just $665 per person. See, I want to go to London so bad.
I don't because of the length of the flight.
I want to go. I don't think it's that bad.
Like 8 hours or something.
See, how long is a flight from New York to London?
Why are you yelling at me?
7 hours.
Says it's too. Can't do it. I had a buddy who lived in Australia. He goes, "You need to come and see me." I said, how long is the flight, Greg? He said, well, all in all, about 24 hours. I said, well, I'll see you at Christmas.
Yeah, one of Jackie's uncles, his oldest son, married someone from Thailand, and they've lived in Thailand for 30 years.
Wow.
And they love it, and he only goes like every 6 or 7 years or whatever, because he says it's 26-hour flights. Like, you're there 2 days, 2 or 3 days later.
When we go to Mexico, it's broken up. You do like 2 hours to Dallas, and then you do about 2.5 hours to Cabo San Lucas. So I could do that, but I could never sit 6 hours straight on a plane.
Thailand just sounds
nuts.
So awesome, though.
I've got a buddy that lives there. Dave Toborowski.
Yeah, I asked him, your buddy, I said, what's the crime like? And he goes, well, I could tell you this. I cannot tell you the last time they had a murder.
Hmm.
Like, he goes, it doesn't happen. Well, they also have a government that says, hey, if you screw up,
we're going to chop your hand off.
You go bye-bye. No, so nobody screws up.
Hey, what'd you do? Steal some bubble yum? Chop his hand off.
Chop it.
Hey, but somehow it works. Hey, Rick, you got any Haywood Banks by any chance?
Got it right here for you.
Let's throw a little of this in real quick for this next story.
All around the country and coast to coast. People always say, what do you like most? I don't want to brag. I don't want to boast. I always tell them I like toast.
Very nice. Well, we're playing this. I kind of want to get to the French toast part.
Funny, neat songs.
I get up
like
in the morning about 6 a.m.
Where's Weird Al when you need him?
Have a little jelly.
Hey! All right, go ahead and pot it down. Go ahead and pot it down. A little Haywood Banks toast. In case you're wondering why I'll play that, is because today is National French Toast Day. So I
love French toast.
I did what I do. I pull up facts about the day. So let's hear some French toast facts. You want to?
Yeah.
All right. The phrase French toast first appeared in the Encyclopedia in American Food and Drink in 1871.
Okay.
But recipes for French toast can be traced all the way back to ancient Roman times.
Right.
One of the original French names for the dish was Le Pain à la Romaine.
Well, they had everything.
Meaning Roman bread.
Yeah, well, they had everything. If you had bread, check. Yeah. Egg, check. Yeah. Milk, check.
Is that what? I thought they had, like, sugar or something on French toast.
Well, you could do powdered sugar on top of it, but you don't have powdered sugar in Rome.
Is that
ancient Rome?
Not with that attitude, you don't. Right. So are you telling me that that's all it is eggs?
You take an egg.
Okay.
You put it in milk.
Yes.
You stir it up.
Right.
That's the mix. You dip the piece of bread in it.
Yeah,
and you fry it. And you put it on a frying pan. That's French toast.
Damn, that sounds good.
It's delicious. Now, the lady... Sandy with an I at the Jewish Community Center said, oh, why don't you try? She said, do you have like a French cream that you put in your coffee? I go, yeah. She goes, use that instead of milk.
What? Oh.
And I went.
What kind of witchcraft is this you're talking about, Sandy?
What are you doing to me, Sandy?
Well, medieval recipes for French toast suggested that the meal was only for the wealthy. And here's why. The recipe in medieval times used white bread, still does today, which was the very finest, most expensive bread available. Plus, the crusts were cut off, and that's something a person of meager means. Something a broke person would not do.
Yes, correct. They would not mix up, and they wouldn't waste an egg. They would cook an egg up.
And they wouldn't cut the crust off, right?
Well, I don't cut the crust off. What are you talking about?
Oh, you don't?
No.
Well, you're not in medieval times. That's
and I will tell you, lots of pasta, Louisville.com.
Yes.
Get the Italian loaf,
right?
A large Italian loaf, and make your French toast with that. Ugh. It's heaven.
According to the Encyclopedia of American Food and Drink, French toast does have origins in France.
Instead of like French fries that aren't French.
Right.
It's French toast is actually France.
And the meaning of it is pain perdu is how to say it. Lost bread. Lost. Like you lost a game. Lost bread. Makes no sense.
The hell are you talking about?
I don't know. That's what it translates. That's what they call it over there. Lost bread. All right, one last one.
So I can't order French toast in France. They call it something else.
I guess so. Damn, I think by now they probably caught up. And
what do you say? What do you say, stupid American?
Right. You say, hey, can I have some coffee, some French toast?
You invented it. French toast.
Hey, dumbass.
You just brought me regular toast.
Well, you're in France. So what do you expect? We just call it toast. Let's do one last one. In Scotland, French toast, I like this idea. French toast is traditionally served with sausage between two slices of French toast and eaten like a sandwich. Here's what I don't like. In Great Britain, some eat French toast with ketchup. That sounds disgusting.
Sounds completely disgusting.
Yeah, that sounds horrible. So anyway, happy French toast day to you.
Lots of pasta, Louisville.com.
Yes.
Just a clue there.
Yes.
Okay.
Who do we have?
I don't think we have anybody. Before we go to break, FBI director wants, they're going to seriously start talking about TikTok. People don't understand how this is a national security threat. I know you enjoy it. I know TikTok is fun, but it is owned by the Chinese and they are rolling you. Okay. They are tracking they're tracking every American that's on TikTok. I am not. I'm not on TikTok. Yet. Okay.
But here's the difference, though. In China, they limit the children.
Yeah.
To like 30 minutes a day TikTok. Yeah. And on that, it's like, hey, my name's Dr. Such and Such. Let's do a math equation together.
That's right.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Well, over here is saying, hey, put this firecracker up your butt and see if you can run down the block before it goes off. And the kids do stupid stuff like that.
China's rolling us, and they're laughing the whole way.
Of course they are.
So the FBI is like, look, we have got to get a hold of TikTok. You basically have let the Chinese government inside 100 million phone users in America.
I'm going to open up something called TikTok.
Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds like it would work.
Right.
All right, short break. We'll come back.
Oh, from Lance McGarvey.
Yeah.
French toast is gross. Well, maybe your face is gross, Lance McGarvey.
You don't know anything, Lance McGarvey. You're not going to get any Tony Vannetti's French toast made with Sandy's from the JCC's French vanilla coffee mate.
As a matter of fact, hand me the Christmas card list real quick.
Yeah, get it off.
Take him off here.
Get off. Take it off. No, we're not going to break till you take Lance McGarvey off.
He's off. No more Lance McGarvey.
Back after this.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.